Amen. You may have your seats, Spat Nation. Thank you, choir. I won't speak for long tonight because tonight is a prayer night, right? Only a few people responded. Tonight is a prayer night, right? Are you ready to pray? Are you sure you're ready to pray? So tonight, I'm not going to speak anything too out of the ordinary or something that you may not already know. But I'm just going to speak to enable us to enter into the place of prayer. And this is how I want to start tonight. I don't know about you, but wherever you find yourself at the moment, whatever you're believing God for, as we believe God as a nation, I know one thing is that it stirs me up to be more and more angry at the kingdom of hell. When you look at the state of this nation, what usually comes to mind, and I think a newspaper or an article put it very correctly the other day. They said the nation is drowning in debt. But I think they should just write the nation is drowning. Because debt is just one of the elements in which the nation is poorly failing at. So I understand that the catalyst for change is always going to be those who can allow Jesus to use them. But, and I know this is not, this is basics, right? You know this, right? But in a moment, I want to speak to you because the anointing is so heavy in this house tonight. There's an assembly of people who hunger and thirst for the power of the revivalist. For, permit me to call him the revivalist tonight. The catalyst for change. So if you ask me for my definition of revival, my definition of revival is not in a definition of words, but in a person. If I locate the person, I locate revival. If I locate the individual, the things that I want to become a catalyst in, meaning the things that I want to cause change in, I cause change in because I've located the person. But there are certain things, and one of the things as we discover in scriptures, one of the things that happens is that actually there is a preparation for prayer. People usually think that prayer is the preparation. But at the height of revival, actually there must be a preparation so that you can go and pray. Because it will still take a man to pray in revival. The prayer of revival is not a prayer you can determine to pray. Because there is a spirit, a preparation that must take place in order for you to be able to pray that prayer. At some point today, we'll get to a place where the revivalist wanted to kindle revival, but there was a cup that was too much for him to bear, but there was a lady who had to prepare him to go and pray. There was a lady, I noticed, why did prophets of old always struggle at a certain point in time? The prophet Elijah, we say Elijah was a man with many faults. And at a point, he sat under a tree and said, Lord, just take me. The height of revival, man cannot determine to pray at that height. There must be a supply. Revival. So first point tonight, revival is supply. Ah, Malika Toza Brahande. Revival is supply. You cannot determine revival. Every time you see the provision of word in a generation, God is supplying somebody. But somebody must prepare for the word. So forgive me tonight if my message to you to lead you into the place of prayer is a bit disjointed, but by the end, you will know where I'm going. So if I locate the person called revival, the revivalist Jesus, then I will be a catalyst for change. So the nation is drowned in its decisions. The decisions to edge out God is drowning in it. The decision to turn its back on what brought it so far. At one point in the United Kingdom, they colonized the one quarter of the whole world. Just the same way that Paul the Apostle won one quarter of the whole world for Jesus. At the foundation of both of those things was God. Someone says, so do you agree that colonization is right? That's not the point. What gives power to man is the idea that revival, listen, man can take the power called revival and turning it into colonization.
Oh my dear.
So revival is not fitted into one mold. What does God want to do? I sincerely believe the next revival that God wants to actually pour out on the land is called plunder. That's the next revival. It was a revival that was started with the church. In fact, the woman that kindled revival was the first woman to actually lay her seed at the feet of the apostles. Preparing Jesus for prayer. Do you remember what PT taught us last week? You lay it at the feet so you can access the head. We're still coming there tonight. So let's talk about supply quickly. I think the best place to talk about supply would be 1 Kings 17. I want to show you something. And let's start, just read and I will let us know. Because this is just a passing scripture.
Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word."
When God gives the power of revival to man, it becomes an except at my word situation. Imagine a man had the ability to tilt the economic direction of a whole nation because of revival. Remember, there is not a broad spectrum of something called revival. You know, one of the words, what revival can do to the body of Christ is make it sound like there's a destination called revival. There's not a destination called revival. There are revived men who brought revival. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? Because you will be looking for something that's inside of you. Revival is not lost. What is lost is men who are revived. So men are looking for Jesus and saying he will bring about a revival. But a revived man knows that it is his word that will tilt the power of revival into a certain nation. That's why one man, PT, can come 14, 15 years ago and begin to tilt how young people serve God. A revived man will bring about revival. Spat Nation has seen revival. All of a sudden, in 2016, the doors of Spat Ministries then slammed shut. It almost looked as if heavens were closed. But when God wants to bring about revival, he first of all removes something called standard and shifts you to supply. What I realize about salary is that it's standard. God will use it as a supply for a moment, but when that door closes on you, it's because he's intending to shift you from salary to supply. Wait for me, I'm coming. Read on.
Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah.
Yeah.
Leave here. Turn eastward.
Yeah.
And hide in the Kerith ravine.
Yeah.
East of the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You will drink from the brook.
So what happens is that for a while, the men who God wants to use for revival, he hides them. These men are the revived men. But for a while, and sometimes when you come out in the open too soon, he uses things so that he can push you back into hiding, because the exposure that you went into was way too soon. I still haven't finished reviving certain people. And until they are revived, I'm not going to release Spat Nation to tilt what I wanted to do. I mark my words, Spat Nation will be the first church to determine the economy of nations. Read on, Pastor Faith.
You will drink from the brook.
Go on.
And I have directed the ravens to supply you.
Oh, my days. I have directed the ravens to supply you. So now I understand God's allocation for revival. He directs to supply. So that's why I said, when you enter into standard, right, what actually happens is that you first of all have to yield to God's direction with what you will call a standard. After you started yielding, then he directs to supply. But the reason why he will not enter you into supply is because you haven't yet yielded to his direction. You know, sometimes when God wants to give you something, but he tells you that I need to take this from you first, but what happens is you hear that direction and you think, nah, that's too much, then he can't enter you into the realm called supply. Still coming to Jesus the revivalist. Revival is a supply. It's a supply of food. It's a supply of word. The Bible talks about in the time of the boy Samuel that the word of the Lord was scarce. People had no word, and no one could become revived, because where there is no word, there are no revived men. It's a matter of food. I'm still coming to Jesus. Remember, Jesus the revivalist. Go for it.
And I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there.
Yeah.
So he did what the Lord had told him.
Yeah.
He went to the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there.
Yeah.
The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning.
The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. This is not a matter of Elijah eating. This is a matter of word. They brought him bread and meat in the morning. When Paul would begin to talk to the church, he begin to say, for too long, I've been feeding you with milk. Let us move on to advanced matters. Let us move on to solid food, the thing we would call meat. Go for it. Because I need to pass this place.
And bread and meat in the evening.
Uh-huh.
And he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up.
The brook did what? Dried up. It's not the issue whether the standard and the supply dries up. The issue is whether you're still revived. Because remember, as long as you enter into this realm called God, God's provision is supply. But it's by direction. It's not by familiarity or routine. Yes, sir. This is not where I want to go at all. Continue.
The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land.
Because there had been no rain in the land. Imagine his own word caused the brook to dry up. Yeah. You'll get that on your way home. It was Elijah's word that was actually setting him up for a dry season. You thought the word would have brought you into a season of prosperity, But before it takes you into a season of prosperity, that word will have to bring you through a dry season so that you will understand that it is not a fluke. You know, sometimes when God does something in your life, if he's still not directing you, you would have thought it was a fluke. I don't know if you've ever seen the power of God move before. And then you go through a dry season. All of a sudden, I'm only leading you to a place of prayer tonight. Read on, Pastor Faye.
Then the word of the Lord came to him.
Go on.
Go at once.
Go at once.
To Zarephath.
Okay.
In the region of Sidon. And stay there.
And stay there.
I have directed a widow.
What? To do what?
To supply.
Okay. I have also directed a widow to supply. Are you hearing me tonight, Spirit Nation? Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is trying to say to you? As we were worshiping, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, now let me get ready to open the supply of January. Look, I don't need you to believe whether it's true or not. The word says it's true. There is a direction. There is a supply that God has for the people of God. And it is whether a revived man can actually allow himself to receive that direction. Somebody shall supply. God said, I have directed. Go to the region. So God didn't use salary to feed Elijah. He used supply. Is this me saying there's something wrong with salary? No. I'm just pulling it in your mind that when we come towards the end of the month, we must understand that if we stop listening to the word of the Lord that comes, then we will miss the direction for supply. But God is intent this month in opening January, supply to us. Amen. Okay. Continue, Pastor Faith.
So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks.
I wish I had time for the sticks tonight, but I don't. A widow was gathering sticks. I would have loved to take you to Ezekiel. Because we will see those sticks later in Ezekiel, when the word of the Lord will come to the prophet and say, son of man, gather the sticks called Judah, and also the stick called Ephraim. This woman was gathering sticks. The stick called Joseph is an economic stick. All right, but let's not go there tonight, but go on, go for it.
He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar?
Yeah.
So I may have a drink.
Malabadoza. Go on.
As she was going to get it, he called.
Yeah.
And bring me, please, a piece of bread.
Yeah.
As surely as the Lord your God lives,
yeah,
she replied, I don't have any bread.
I don't have any bread. But the Lord had said to Elijah that I had directed supply in this region through a widow. What the widow saw was not resources. She saw her lust. But not knowing that her lust was actually, I can't do this. Go on. Otherwise, we're going to park here. Go on.
As surely as the Lord God lives, I don't have any bread.
I don't have any bread.
Only a handful of flour in a jar.
It doesn't look like bread. It doesn't look like a resource. It doesn't look like it can feed anybody. But it is a handful. All God wants to give is a handful. I'm still coming to Jesus. All God wants to give is a handful. Yeah, continue.
And a little olive oil in a jar. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.
Do you know when Paul gathered sticks in the New Testament church, The Bible says that he lit a fire. And when he lit that fire, a snake came from out of the fire and bit him on his hand. Listen, you let me tell you something tonight. I was just meditating on my bed and I realized something. In wherever there is a garden, wherever God's garden is, snakes will be there. Wherever God's garden is, serpents will be there. Why would they be there? Because when God kindles a fire on the inside of a man, it is going to be the serpent that is the only person that if he yields to the words of the serpent, that is able. So where does he bite him? On his hand. What does the hand symbolize? The hand symbolizes work. He wants to stop you from doing the work, the craftsmanship that God had given you. The serpent's job is to stop you from doing that work. Because as soon as God kindles a fire, the next thing you should expect is a snake. Imagine the woman prepares Jesus for the burial. I thought she was preparing Jesus for the burial. She was preparing him to go and pray. There was a power that Jesus needed before he went to die. Yeah. We thought we needed power to live. We needed power to be able to accept death. Yeah. We need a power to be able to accept death. You know, there's a pride that kills. But there is a humility that will save you from the pride that kills. But the problem is, what happens to man is they don't have enough power to enter into that humility. They want to do it by head knowledge. It's not a head knowledge, it's a power. We're still coming to Jesus. So when he lit the fire, a snake came out and bit him on his hand. The hand representing work. Every time you gather sticks, the next thing to do is kindle a fire. So what God does on prayer nights like this is he gathers sticks. Because what he wants to do in the house tonight is that he wants to kindle a fire on the inside of us. That, listen, we've had fire kindled before. I remember... If those of you who were there when we went to Ashburnham, PT spoke the word. The craftsman spoke the word. Spoke the word. Spoke the word. All of a sudden, in the presence of him still speaking word, a fire was kindled. You know that that fire, till now, is what we are still seeing. The positive than what we would consider negative. All of it was kindled by one fire. Now, what we need in order to move now is not another fire, it's more sticks. So what God will do tonight is that, yes, he will kindle a fire in some people where the fire had been, it had been neutralized by the serpent. Where it had been neutralized by the serpent, he will kindle a new fire. And that's why I said Jesus the revivalist is here. Because he is the artist that kindles fire. Remember John the Baptist spoke. And he said, listen, I come and I baptize in water and repentance. But one is coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and in what? Everywhere Jesus the revivalist is, there's a fire. You know, sometimes you can say, fire, fire. I hear all this fire, fire, fire in church. Fire, 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 fire. But what is this fire coming to do? You know the first thing the fire does? It burns away anything called sound. Remember what I said to you. The power that God wants to give you is not to keep you alive. It's to bring you to the point where you are able to accept that certain things have to die. I know we want to believe that we can easily accept. You know, the flesh that rises when God brings you to the point of sacrifice, Because it is only sacrifices that come up to God as burnt offerings. So now, let me leave this because I'm going into some territory right now. Go for it.
Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said.
Do as you have said.
But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have. And bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. And the jug of oil will not run dry.
The jar of flour will not be used up. And the jug of oil will not run dry. Spat Nation, our jug will never run dry. But what, there was an instruction. Pastor Faith, let's finish this and then we can go to the next scriptures.
Until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family.
So wherever Elijah went, revival followed him. Wherever he went. But you know, there's a stage of revival that even the frequency of that revival was too much for Elijah to bear. It is only the revivalist that when he dwells on the inside of a man. I was talking to a young man today. I said, listen. You think revival starts with you knowing how to pray and the fire of the Holy Ghost falling and this, that, and the other, and then people will like you and stuff like that? No. I said the first evidence of revival in your life, because he's a young man, he goes to college. I said is, one, all of a sudden, you're the best. You must first of all become a revived man, trusted with revival. This is not a Lord, I want revival matter. This is, can you handle the cup that I'm going to give you? Because the revival is not based on how much you can pray for revival. It's based on how much you allow me to pour in your cup. You know, certain people reach a threshold. They say, my finances are this. My life is like this. All meanwhile, what God was looking to see was whether you can be trusted with revival. He was pouring in your cup. And David was a man that God could trust with revival. Why? He said, my cup runneth over. That wasn't with pleasant things. That was with the affliction that brings around revival. If there's going to be a royal revival in the land of Israel, if David is going to make it from the cave to the palace, he's going to be able to open his cup and allow God to pour. I'm still coming to Jesus. Looking at the world. There are people in the world that have to sneak to go to church. What your problem may be is that you're shy, that you lack confidence. And I'm looking at that and I'm saying, but God is looking for those who will allow him to pour in his cup, to pour in that cup. You remember he turns and said, you want to be the greatest, right? He says, are you sure you can handle this cup? So it was a cup matter. So when you're ready for revival, God issues you a cup. It starts empty. That's when your prayer life can be great because there's nothing in that cup. But he begins to pour a little bit when he sees that he can trust you with prayer. He begins to pour and pour and pour. Then all of a sudden it's hard to pray because the affliction poured in your cup is beginning to outweigh the prayer life that you once had. Malika Talabahanda. Can I go a bit deeper in the word tonight? Just a little bit deeper. Remember when Ezekiel began to prophesy and he said, and I saw 1,000 cubits measured out and it was measured up to the ankle. Remember, the water first of all allows you to start praying, but God is also pouring in the cup at the same time. So as you're receiving water to pray, God is also releasing water in your cup, the water of affliction. So the word, it brings you to your prayer life, but it also brings you to trouble. I'm talking revival now. Have your seat. I only want to lead us to pray. I want to lead us to pray tonight. The revival is called Jesus. The revival is, he turns to the disciples or to those who wanted to follow him and said, this cup, can you really show you can bear of this cup? The cup called burden, the burden of the revival and the revival of the burden. Are you sure that, oh my God. Listen, the first thing that you must understand, when revival comes around, the first thing that will be revived is the burden. I'm just speaking as I hear. How do I know that? When God was going to take Abraham to the highest point of revival, he awakened the burden called giving. The burden called sacrifice. How do I know this? When God wages war on giving, it's give me your son. Give me your only son. Take from, not give to. When God awakens revival, you will see men that he has taken from that paid the price. And every time he takes from you, before he adds a blessing, but he pours more in you. Let's just go there. Matthew 25 or wherever it is. Are you still with me, Sweat Nation? Are you sure you can handle God's cup? Someone, the yes sirs went down. Yeah, I said, God, no. Just here as a witness of the revival. I say, oh wow, yes, those Black Nation guys were really revived. Let's go, Pastor Faith. Let's, because I haven't got much time.
While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. Which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told.
There's a translation that tells us that she poured perfumes on my feet. But what I saw was her pouring the perfume on his head. Let me just quickly skip through this, symbolizing that actually what the woman gave was actually the opening to what the New Testament church will be. So although she poured it on his head, he recorded it as she poured it on my feet. So that you will now know that in the New Testament church, they said those who gave sold all they had and brought it to the apostles' feet. Because to access the head, there must be something poured at the feet. But that's just a by the way. Let's go to him, Jesus, in the garden.
Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane.
So remember what I said. I thought she was preparing him for burial, but she prepared him to pray. Go on.
And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled.
What preceded the revival of the captives of hell being released was hell's own instrument, sorrow. God did not feel joy. Jesus did not feel joy in his heart. He felt a sorrow. But that sorrow is about to be the fuel for revival. It's a bit mad, right? Because you usually hear that what was the fuel for revival is, the guy from Scotland again. I can't remember his name. Give me Scotland or I'll die. And that's what he prayed. But even if he didn't die, he's still gonna. But there is a sorrow, a pain that will be on the heart of the revived man that will take him to a place where he no longer has expression or action, not even compassion could get rid of the sorrow that was on Christ's heart. And we know that Christ was full of compassion, but there's also a limit to where compassion can go. There's a realm that compassion cannot reach, that sorrow will take you into, so that when you get on your knees, let's let the Bible say this to us actually. Mahandaliata.
Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed.
My soul is overwhelmed. So the little bit of overwhelming that you went through, but you managed to use something other than God to shake it off. What God was trying to do was to set you up until the point where you were so overwhelmed that there can be a kindling of the fire of God, so that there can be revival that breaks out wherever you are. But all of a sudden there was pressure on you, and guess what you did? You found your way like Jacob. There's nothing in the child of a believer that God does not know is there. If it's sorrow, some of you have questions. But questions begin to buffer your mind instead of take you to the garden. There's a garden. And guess what happens when you begin to enter into that garden? Remember what I said. In every garden, there will be a snake there. Go for it.
Overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death.
What does the power want to do? He said he was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. But Jesus, you're going to die. So you're not praying to keep yourself alive. Because he knew that his assignment was in his death. So he's not praying to keep himself alive, but there's something he's praying for. Go for it.
Stay here and keep watch with me.
Keep watch.
Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed.
Makapatoza.
My father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me.
This what?
Cup.
It's a cup. He felt an overwhelming sorrow to the point of death, and he knew that this cup is too much. It's no longer halfway. Every action you do, every seed you give, every prayer you pray is actually just pouring more affliction. Not because God wants you afflicted, but because he wants to kindle a revival in you. So if Jesus is going to have the status of the revivalist, he's going to have to be able to handle the overwhelming cup. So I now understand when David began to pray, my cup overflows, he entered into a prophetic realm because the woman anointed his head with oil. Then he said, my cup overflows. It wasn't with good things. He was overwhelmed with the thing called sorrow. Remember I said the fuel for revival is hidden in the pain that you actually feel. But until that pain is overwhelming, you won't be angry enough with hell. What motivates young people in this society? What would make them want to serve God? I know they go to church. I know we attend church. But what would make them want to serve God? What would make them want to bring down the gates of hell in the country called the UK, the United Kingdom? What would make them want to take the economy by storm? Sorrow. Overwhelming sorrow. So let the country drown. But let Spat Nation continue to build the ark. Let the country drown. But let us continue to gather the woods that are needed in order to build the ship that will cause the water to understand that, hey, this is not going down. This actually just thrives in the midst of water. When the rain falls again, for a long time over this land, rain has stopped. Go to the churches. Even the pastor knows he's not preaching. Nobody's reacting. And it's not saying that reaction is the point of preaching. But even the pastor knows that, oh boy, this is just a 30-minute sermon and we're calling it a day. That's what they want us to become. They want us to become dead bodies that come and sit in church. I said, I did not come to become a Christian. I came to meet the revivalist, the catalyst of change. So if we got to pray until we can't pray anymore, and then the catalyst called the revivalist, Jesus Christ, sets a new fire so that the prayer can continue, then let it be so. Have you ever prayed to a place where your ribs, your inside, you can't push anymore? You're even lost for words. All you have left is, ah. Let's see where that started, the revivalist. Go for it.
Yet not as I will.
Yet not as I will. That's the kind of people that God is looking for. Because the one thing, that the height of revival, that will clash, not because you want it to clash, but now affliction has risen to a place. So now the questions will rise as if, do I want to continue this way with my life? Or do I want to go another journey? Because this cup. So if this is possible, let it pass. But you have to be able to rise and say, not as I will. Third point of revival. So that means at that point, there was something in Jesus that wanted to go against the will. But only if it is permitted. Read on.
Yet not as I will,
yeah,
but as you will.
As you will.
Then he returned to his disciples,
yeah,
and found them sleeping.
He returned and found them sleeping. You don't get to the height of revival, and prayer is a collective thing. It's a height, it's a realm. You can't pray there. Remember, I started with this. You can't pray there by determination. So someone can say, okay, we want to pray for revival. That's nice. But first of all, there must be two things that are matching: your word level and your cup level. If the cup is not filled or overwhelming, there's no need yet to pray for revival. So Spat Nation, guess what every persecution against you does? It speeds up the need for revival and the qualification of revival. Yes, revival has qualification. If you want to be a revived man, if you want to be trusted with God's revival, then first of all, he sees your capacity for persecution. Like Pastor Nikki was saying, your capacity for persecution, because guess what? He's going to continue pouring in that cup. But don't hear it from me.
Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? Mm. He asked Peter.
Yeah.
Watch and pray.
Yeah.
So that you will not fall into temptation.
It's too late. It's too late for Peter. Peter's already fallen. He fell asleep. The falling asleep in the time of affliction is exactly the reason why you will fall into temptation. As long as there's a fall somewhere. It doesn't have to be fall into temptation first. He just fell asleep. As long as there's something called fall around, then guess what? Peter, it's already too late for you. Lord, I don't want to fall into anything. I don't even want to fall into a ditch. I don't want to fall. I want to rise. So when Jesus said to them, rise and pray with me, keep watch with me, it was so that they would not fall. But it's too late for Peter. Read on.
The spirit is willing.
Yeah.
But the flesh is weak.
But the flesh is weak. Go on.
He went away a second time.
Remember I said revival. The prayer for revival is a realm. We got to break into that realm tonight, Spat Nation. We've got the cup ready. But you see, the first time, you can go away and pray. But you see, sometimes when you leave the prayer place, you say, oh God, I've done my prayer for today. But revival and affliction mixed together will bring you back in for a second time. You know that inside of you, there's something that is trying to express itself. There's something that's trying to get out. You know, I'm very angry because I know that there are some economic giants in this place tonight. I know that it looks like you're going to finance or, I don't know how to say it, calculate your way there. No, you're going to go in a second time and you're going to pray it out of yourself. I know some of you are angry. You want the seed at the end of the month. Go back in a second time. Akato sabradayata, rikato sabakande. Go back in a second time. You see, it's only revivalists. It's only revivalists that know how to kindle fires that go back in a second time. He gathered the sticks on the first time and no fire was kindled. He went to go and check if the others had fallen. They had fallen. Forget those. I'm going back in a second time. We can all be a Spat Nation, but it might not be, everybody might not be a second time person. Said, I've heard about revival before. I've heard about prayer before. But what was the first time when it happened? What happened to me? Nothing happened. I'm still the same person. Yeah, right. God needed to fill up your cup. And he needed to see whether you will go back in a second time. I'm ready for revival the second time. So revival is not only once. Because the revivalist did not just go in once. He went in a second time. And I thought that the revivalists will end on the second time. But read on, Pastor Faith. We're about to pray. Likatoza. Rotande kando sopriata. Rikatayalaba sopriata. Go for it.
He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to
be... Why are you still praying about the cup? Jesus. He knows that the cup is what God feels as the instrument for the revival that is about to break out over the UK. So what are you looking at in your life? What are you complaining against? Sometimes subconsciously you don't know you're complaining against the cup. Read on, Pastor Faye. I feel the spirit of prayer in this house.
If it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.
So not only does he pour in the cup, he asks you to drink it. Oh my God. Because of the cup, he's already overwhelmed. But the filling of the cup is not the end of the matter. Revival does not come until you're able to drink what he had filled your cup with. Never again will I complain about my financial status. I'm going to drink it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Never again am I going to complain about the state of the UK. I'm going to drink that state. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? Capacity. You've got to be able to drink the bloodshed that is on the road today, because what revivalists do is that they take the cup and they drink it. They don't look at the cup and say, Lord, why is the cup like this? They don't look at the stains. Oh my God. They don't look at the stains and say, why is this cup in this manner? No, they take the cup and they drink the cup, because until they drink the cup, Pastor Faithful.
When he came back, he again found them sleeping.
Yeah.
Because their eyes were heavy.
Their eyes were heavy. Their eyes were heavy. The last person whose eyes was heavy was Eli. Guess why he was heavy? The lamp was going out. The fire was being quenched out. Makata yalabakosa brada labahande. What causes eyes to be heavy? It's the fact that your fire is going out. It's not the fact that you're tired. It's just that you don't have any more fire left. You're actually running on smoke. Spat Nation is not on smoke. It's on fire. There's a difference. I'm not on smoke. I'm on fire. I know on the road they tell you I'm on smoke. I'm not on smoke. I'm on fire. Smoke is an evidence that there's fire, but it can also be an evidence that there was fire. not in this life. I'm not there was. I am there is. Read on, Pastor Faith. Are you ready to pay?
So he left them and went away once more. And prayed the third time.
Prayed the third time.
Saying the same thing.
Yeah, go on.
Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping?
Are you still sleeping? Fire out. Go on.
Look, the hour has come.
Yeah.
And the Son of Man is delivered into the hands.
The hour has come. You know when the hour has come, he's drank the cup. Listen, Spat Nation, I'm telling you now, the hour has come again. I don't know what it looks like, but when before revival preceded sorrow. Jump to Hebrews chapter 5. I just need to do this and we'll pray. This is the scripture on which we pray on. Hebrews 5, go for it.
Every high priest.
Let's skip all of that.
During the days of Jesus' life on earth.
During the days of Jesus' life on earth,
he offered up prayers and petitions.
Listen, the cup that you drink is what makes power available. You know, sometimes it looks like it's your own error that caused people to abuse you. But God needed those errors so that he can get that abuse, so that you can drink it, so that he can allow you to have a certain power. It is the power that you ignite in death. The minute you're able to drink of the abuse of people, then it is the power that you ignite because you're dead. But every time you come up, you know some of the abuses, it made you go, who do you think you're talking to? No, stay dead. If you just drink it, what actually happens is that there is a power that's ignited. And guess what?
Read this.
I need to stop preaching. I need to
offer up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears.
With fervent cries. You know the fervent, he didn't say, listen, he didn't say Christ. He said fervent Christ. Christ that were passionate. Christ that had a pain at the bottom of them. They were Christ, overwhelming Christ. They weren't just normal Christ. They weren't Christ that didn't have weight. You know when a baby cries sometimes, you know it doesn't have weight because they haven't hit their head. But there are fervent cries from a baby because you know it's in pain. You know that this baby is going through something. The cry that it goes through is so that you will understand that there's a pain here. So we've cried. Some of the church, because they wanted to be blessed, they would cry. But it wasn't a fervent cry. You can't fervently cry over the blessing. It's not possible. It has to be a pain. It has to be something that overwhelms you. Because until it overwhelms, there's no catalyst for revival. Go for it.
Fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death.
There was only one who could save him from what?
Death.
Go for it.
And he was heard because of his reverent submission.
This is where I wanted to take us tonight. He was heard because of his reverent submission. What are we going to birth in the place of prayer tonight? Reverent submission. And in a moment, the revivalist will show up and kindle fires. That's what I'm after today. I want him to kindle a fire in me. Kindle a fire in all the units. Kindle a fire in Spat Nation. It is already awesome that this fire started all of this. imagine the man that God ignited, that ignited this, is not here tonight. But there are people fervently worshiping God. Let me tell you, now it's time to take it to a new level. But unfortunately, the qualification is fervent cry. He says, God says, I know you're crying, but it's not fervent yet. Until you're saying, God, move me into this realm. You can cry it, but there's 3 times that Jesus went back into the place because it was a fervent cry. Ah, Maliata, Rika, it's a, listen, the pain is fervent. So my cry must be fervent. Oh my God. Pastor Faith, let's finish this.
Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered.
He learned obedience from the cup. He learned obedience from what he suffered. What was the cup? His arch, it was his tool for obedience. Let me tell you something. Without a cup in our lives, there are certain things we will never believe God for. And there are certain ways we will never behave. Rise to your feet tonight. Are you ready to praise that nation? Oh, Malika Toza Brahandeliata. Have you finished that, Pastor?
Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered.
Yeah.
And once made perfect, he became the source.
Lika Toza Brahandeliata. Once made perfect, so you can be made perfect. I don't have to start out perfect. My life, even as a pastor, does not have to start out perfect. But suffering leads to obedience, and obedience leads to perfection. You know, for some of you, what God is asking you to do, in order for you to do it, he's got to make you suffer. Not him making you suffer, but permitting suffering. Yes, Pastor Faith.
He became the source of eternal salvation.
Eternal. The revivalist. So revival is constant. It's always there. The source is always around. It is just if some can break through the what we would call the crowd. Time will not permit me. But the woman with the issue of blood, who had 12 years of a blood issue. Let me tell you something. If you had 12 years of an issue, by the time they told you there's someone that can heal you, I wouldn't be interested. Because I've already been suffering with this issue for 12 years. Leave me with my issue. But this woman broke through the crowd. This crowd was already touching Jesus. But there was somebody that broke through, pressed through. They pressed through the force in their hearts. They pressed through the questions in their mind. And they began to press through, and then Jesus said, who touched me? It takes a revivalist, a revived woman, a revived man to press through. So at the beginning stages of your revival, it's just a pressing. Sometimes you're just likatusa bradi ata, and it looks like there's no reason to press. It looks like there's nothing going on, but you just start likatusa brada labahande. It looks like a waste of time, but you're just ika on the sobri ata hours lika sudi ata. You know, for a while we'll time ourselves, Pastor Oni, Lancaster House, 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. just praying in the Holy Ghost, and you wonder why you're just praying in the Holy Ghost. There's no revival around the corner, but it is a preparation. It's a pressing through. Spike Nation, tonight, we press through. We press through every crowd. We press through every comment. We press through every persecution. I want you to begin to lift up your voice and pray. Oh, my Labadoza, the fire kindler, the revivalist is here tonight. Rikataya.